Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I know, Herodotus. It's Thursday, so it's time for our regular weekly segment. This month, we're taking a look at the big new atlas published by the U.S. Census. As you know, it's the first time in many, many years that the Census has published this atlas, but it is worth the wait. It is enormous. It is full color. It is beautiful and full of fascinating information. So joining us each week this month to get a taste of what lies inside is Mark Perry, chief of the Population Distribution Branch at the U.S. Census. He was one of the main editors of this new atlas. Mark, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be back, Brian.
And you're in D.C., so you can't tell at all that we've completely moved buildings since the last time we talked. And as always, each week we're posting a slideshow of the maps we're discussing on our website. So you can go right now to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehr Show. You should see a link to the maps. I'm happy to report, Mark, that hundreds of people did it last week. Maybe even more will do it today. Again, you don't need to be looking at the maps to get the picture we'll be discussing. We'll try and describe each one of those for you who aren't at a computer and what they really mean, but certainly is fun to follow along online if you can. And this week we're going to hone in on some New York-specific maps that appear in the Atlas. And as our listeners have heard, Mark really knows his stuff, but we thought that we'd invite a kind of ride-along guest for this particular discussion, someone who really knows the ins and outs of New York City demographics like few others. So joining us this week is friend of the show, Andrew Beveridge, demographer, chair of the sociology department at Queens College, and also a guy who works with Social Explorer, a website that has a lot of other neat maps on it as well. So Andrew, welcome back to WNYC. Thanks for helping out today.
Well, thanks, Brian, and also I want to congratulate you on the Peabody Award. I feel honored to be talking to a Peabody Award-winning journalist.
Thanks a lot, and very nice of you to mention it. Now, I'm going to trust you're following along on our website as we move over to Map 1 here. It's pretty simple. This is population density in New York City. Andrew Beveridge from Queens College, what do you see here in this map?
Well, I think the major thing you see in New York, obviously, is the incredible density of Manhattan. And then, and if you pulled back, I mean, I realize if you pulled back into the regular atlas, because there's other pages in the atlas or even on our map, you realize that New York City is one of the densest populated cities in the country, if not the densest.
And it's a little surprising that there are parts of Manhattan that aren't completely dark. In other words, the darker the blue on this map, the more dense the neighborhood. So it looks like parts of, certainly the Upper East Side and Upper West Side are completely dense with, you know, dark navy blue. Way up in Washington Heights and Inwood, very, very dense down in the Lower East Side. But there are areas along the far west side, down on the kind of the western side of Lower Manhattan that aren't so dense. Why is that?
Well, I mean, you do have, I mean, and this is fairly typical of most places. I mean, when you get into areas of high commercial activity, or there's often not as much density. I think along the west side of Manhattan, I mean, parts of that come down to exactly what the area is mapped over. Because sometimes if you map it over sort of a more narrow area, say a populated area, you know, the tracks are, I'm not exactly clear how they, as it's called, clip the tracks for this atlas. Mark probably knows. Mark?
Well, and also a reminder here, this is from 2000. So certainly some of those areas on the west side that have had a lot of real estate development since then, their densities are going to be much higher than they were.
Yeah,
here.
Darker and darker. And as I look around the rest of the city, a lot of the Bronx is really dense, Mark. And parts of Brooklyn, obviously, parts of Queens, it gets less dense as you go out east in Queens toward the Rockaways or toward Little Neck and Bayside and places like that. But the Bronx is really dense.
Yeah, it's not just Manhattan. I mean, that's certainly one of the stories here is You know, certainly Manhattan's very dense, but parts of the other boroughs, you know, even a little bit of Staten Island is up there in a pretty high density. And certainly, as Andy was saying, if you compare this to other cities might have one or two dense neighborhoods, certainly nothing like you see in New York, where it's just sort of mile after mile.
The other thing, you know, when you think about it over time, Brian, I mean, initially when New York settled, you know, heavily settled, which would, because by 1910 it had over 4 million population. The population at that time was heavily in Manhattan. In fact, Manhattan was much larger than it is now. Manhattan's about 1.5 million now, and then it was, I think, well over 2 million. And in fact, below 18th Street, I believe it was at least 1 million, maybe 1.5 million people lived. And so what happened once the transportation routes came, there was a settlement out. And so, like the northern, some of the southern Bronx, but particularly northern Brooklyn, was heavily, heavily populated because at that time you had to walk across the bridge. And then once public transit, you know, of various sorts became available, then the population started spreading out.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things, Mark, you might want to keep your eye on in the future is maybe an even narrower focus set of maps. Block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood, because part of Mayor Bloomberg's Sustainable New York Plan YC 2030 initiative is to try to encourage density around subway stations, mm-hmm. to encourage the use of public transportation. So there are all these permits that are going to be given out for more development around the transportation hub. So you're going to get, I think, even within neighborhoods, pockets of density that exceed the rest of the neighborhoods if the mayor's city planning works out. Let's go to the next map in our sequence. So listeners, if you're following along online, time to click forward here to map two. And this is a little quirkier. This is most common housing type. So we've got all these categories, 2 to 4 unit housing, 5 units or more, single family attached, single family detached. Mark, what does this sort of map teach us? What are you going for here?
I look at this map and I see just an amazing diversity of housing styles in New York. And again, you don't really see this in the other cities. You know, you think of Philadelphia, you think of row houses, you think of Los Angeles and maybe sort of bungalows. New York City, it's the housing just depends on the neighborhood. And so you have all the different colors shown, you have all the different housing styles. You know, and you can kind of think of opening credits for old TV shows, you know, where All in the Family, you know, that's set in Astoria. So you sort of have that great shot of the neighborhood and the semi-detached housing style. You know, the Jeffersons are on the Upper East Side, so they've got their high-rise. You sort of see all different housing styles in New York. And again, you don't really see that in the other cities.
And again, looking at this map, for those of you who aren't following along online, Andrew Beveridge, Manhattan is solid blue. And for that matter, almost the entire Bronx is solid blue, blue representing units of housing that are 5 units or more, so apartment buildings basically. Then as you get out to Eastern Queens, you get the single-family detached houses represented in orange. And a lot of these 2 to 4 unit homes sprinkled very generously through Queens and Brooklyn primarily.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that you have in New York, you know, you're not going to find the – it used to be actually around – and I don't know if they're still there, but there used to be along the Brooklyn waterfront when they had ships. I don't know what the census does now with ship troop ships, but in the earlier censuses, they actually were people living on boats, basically military people.
Well, you know, I don't know about troop ships, but one little funny thing on this map, if people look real close, it looks like Manhattan is entirely one block of solid blue at first blush. But right along the Upper West Side, there's a little green, very, very narrow green strip or yellow strip that is actually people who listed boat, RV, or van as their primary residence. And I guess those are people living on boats at the 79th Street Marina.
Yeah, that's probably right. One of the points that you made about the scale or about the granularity, sometimes called, I mean, in New York, because it's so built up, Lots of times census tracts are actually quite small geographically, because census tracts are supposed to have about 4,000 people in them. And, you know, the point about, you know, going to a higher granularity, the trouble is with the census, they don't really release certain types of data because they don't have enough counts below the tract or block group level.
Let's go on to the next map. So map number 3, which shows us the percentage of the population in New York City that is foreign-born. Now, this map is a series of greens, and the dark green, which is 50% or more foreign-born in particular neighborhoods. You can see it, not surprisingly, very much of Queens, particularly Jackson Heights and neighborhoods around there in the mm-hmm. central part of the borough, dark, dark green. Andrew, the site you work with, Social Explorer, actually has some similar maps that track this kind of data over time. So tell us, what would this map have looked like 20, 50, 100 years ago?
Well, it actually, New York, I was looking at it this morning. I mean, New York, going back to 1960, because we actually have it up back to 1960, and people can play with that themselves if they want. Just go to the link that's on the show page. You actually see an enhanced, you know, an increasing density of foreign-born population, and that makes a lot of sense because it became much easier to come in the United States. I believe the law was first at least loosened around 65, and then in 82 it was modified so that the population of the, you know, the immigrant population started growing again. I think the other point, which is in part shown, I think, on the next map, but is also available on the Social Explorer site, is you could go and look at actually origins of the various foreign-born population groups as dots. So if anybody wants to look at where their particular origin is, they could go to Social Explorer and just click, and it'll show. And Social Explorer will zoom from the whole country all the way down to, for the public version, down to tracks, but it does actually overlay streets, et cetera.
Another interesting thing here is that there are pretty much no places in New York City that have less than 11% foreign-born. So
yeah.
That means you can go to anywhere in the five boroughs, round up 10 people at random, and you're pretty much guaranteed that at least one of them was born in another country.
No, that's absolutely true.
Mark, I wonder if there's any other major city in America that you could say that for.
There are. There are Miami, a handful of others. But as we'll get to in the next map, I don't think there are other cities, with maybe the exception of L.A., where the people are literally coming from all over the world.
No, L.A., they're predominantly Hispanic, predominantly Mexico and other parts of Central America.
And, Mark, I noticed that Central Park is shaded in this map. Does that mean squirrels and ducks count as foreign-born?
That's a good question.
That goes back to how they clip the tracks, Brian.
Yeah.
All right, on to our final map. This may be the most colorful map we've had in the entire series so far. We looked at a national map of this last week, and now we're honing in on New York. This is the question of ancestry, which is different from race or country of origin. And I like this map because it's the visual equivalent of walking down the street and looking at all the old restaurants. So if you're in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, there are all these Polish diners.
Polish.
And lo and behold, a bunch of people in that area list their ancestry as Polish. Andrew, as you look at this various ancestry map of New York, people list African-American, Chinese, German, Irish, Italian, Polish, Puerto Rican, Russian, West Indian. Some just choose American ancestry. There are some small pockets
of
that.
That's actually on an uptick in the U.S. overall. More and more people are putting down American ancestry. After the ancestry question came out in 80, there was a very interesting article written by Michael Hout called How 4 Million Irish Immigrants Became 44 Million Irish Americans. And so right after the ancestry question was first put out, and particularly in 90, many, many people gave an ancestry, but by 2000 it had declined somewhat.
And we noticed on the national map of this last week that especially in Appalachia and along the corridor in the Deep South, a lot of presumably the whites in that area, because there are a lot of blacks in that area who list their ancestry as African, but a lot of the whites in that area list their ancestry as American. It seems particularly a popular thing to do in Appalachia and the South. And I just want to note Staten Island on this map which is still, according to this, so overwhelmingly Italian. But I have a feeling, Mark, that this has changed. And we just have 30 seconds left. This has changed a bit since 2000.
It probably has. And probably some of the older Italian communities are there are people who are sort of dying off and moving out. And so
like
Bensonhurst, certainly change.
Bensonhurst, which is right across from Staten Island, has become there's definitely and a lot of Chinese have moved into Bensonhurst, which was an Italian American area aging out,
and big Russian patches in South Brooklyn there as well, according to this map. And that's where we have to leave it for today, folks. You can check out our slides from the Census Atlas of the United States at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. There's even a picture of me there reading the atlas. And Andrew Beveridge and Mark Perry, thanks a lot. Mark from the Census, we'll do this again next week with more maps.
Thanks.
Looking
a lot,
forward
Frank.
To it.